If you will, turn your Bibles to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, the third chapter. We are considering one verse from that section today that begins with a woman's role and so forth in verses 1 through 6, and really thinking about the Christian family and marriage, and then verse 7 is where we'll be this morning. I'll bring some other scriptures into it as well. Let's read that, verse 7, and we will ask God's help. You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for your putting together the scriptures for us, the Bible, that we might understand you and understand ourselves to a greater degree. Thank you for making known to us that which we otherwise would not know. Thank you for this revelation to us. I thank you, Father, for this past week, for the ups and downs of it, for your presence with us in it. Thank you that you work all things out for good. Thank you that you are good to a degree that we really can't fathom or get our minds around. Thank you for your interaction with us in our lives and carrying us along and helping us through the difficulties. Thank you for the great joy it is to know you and serve you. Father, we've come to this place today, not as people that have it all together. At least I hope we don't think that. I hope that we come today with hearts that are hungry for you, hungry for your word, desiring to grow, desiring to know. Father, you need to break through if that's going to happen. So I'd ask that you would loosen your spirit upon us in a way that we could see ourselves and see your word and act as we should and react and move us as we ought to be moved. So Father, help me as I speak, the listeners, they hear, both of us as we respond. In Jesus' name, amen. God has been giving us insight into marriage. That's what we've had in these previous six verses and in verse 7 today. His word is so vastly different from the view that you will hear on most street corners this day about marriage. One of the things I mentioned to you last week is the word of God is just so cross-cultural in every way, especially when it comes to the roles of men and women within marriage, the roles of the church and so forth, and how we serve there. When we consider what God would have us to know about marriage, we're going to the one place, though, the one place that has the best for us, the Bible, and the one person who knows us, who created us, God Himself, where we discover the best, the truth. He'll bring us the greatest freedom, the greatest joy and blessings that we could have. Today, we're especially considering a husband's role in marriage. When we are married, we take these vows. I'll remind you of them again today. It's to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish till death do us part. Those were the vows we took. When we enter into a marriage relationship, it's the greatest agreement, contract that we can make with fellow man. There's nothing bigger. And so I want you to know that it's really, really important that we consider how God would have us to live within those bonds of marriage. Now, I don't know where God catches you today. I don't know. I don't know your background, all that. I just know the truth, okay? We're going to work from this place this morning. We'll allow God to meet us there. Last week, I especially addressed our ladies, the wives. This week, it's especially to the husbands, but it's for each of us. You might be a young lady or a young man here today. These principles, I want you to file them away. I want you to consider your own life. But as husbands, our goal must be to please God in our marriages by loving and cherishing our wives. That's what He calls us to. We remember those vows. We took them. They're important. And it's the most substantial agreement we can make, I think, on this side of heaven with an individual. Now, we begin this word today, it says, you husbands, in the same way. And that simply is back to this idea of being submissive. We entered into this whole thought of submitting ourselves to government authorities, to different individuals within that place. And he talked about the workplace. And last week it was marriage. Today, marriage again. So he's calling us back to this example that we have in verses 21 to 25. The greatest example of submission the world has ever known is when Jesus said, I'll leave heaven's glory. I'll go to earth. I'll become sin for those who need a Savior. That's the greatest example of submission. And while he went to the cross, we see him submitting, committing himself to the Father. Verse 23, and by, while being reviled, he did not revile in return. And if we would go back to the Gospels and look at the cross, we see those just throwing it in our Lord's face as he's suffering. He was being reviled. But while he was doing that, he didn't answer that. He didn't go after them. He didn't say something he shouldn't. Why? Because he kept entrusting himself to the Father, to him who judges righteously. There's the example of submission. It's not only for a wife, it's for a husband. It's for a husband in his role before God. Men, we're accountable to God. We are. We are accountable to God for the way that we do marriage. Where do we begin? We begin with the idea of being submissive to God as God calls us in that marriage. And again, I want to remind you here that the word submission or being submissive, it's a military term and it means to place under rank. What the Spirit of God is talking about here isn't the value, listen close, isn't the value of one person over another. It has to do with function. No army can function without rank and order, and the same is true of the Christian family. The Christian family can't operate as God has designed if someone doesn't lead. Men, you are the spiritual leaders in your family. Let's go further here. It's about being submissive, and then it's really toward God. Embracing our role as husbands is to bow before God. It is to be like Jesus. Notice the scripture in the same way. In the same way. Verse 1. We need to ask, what is he referring to? It refers to the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest example of submission this world has ever known. Jesus humbled himself to the Father's role for him in redemption. That included not only leaving heaven's glory, but becoming human. He became the God-man because he came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. The giving of his life. It wasn't just that he lived a perfect example. I've heard that before. I remember talking to someone who is from a spiritual background, a religious background, and I could tell they were struggling to know the gospel. And I said, why do you think Jesus came? I think he came to set a great example about what it was to live on earth. But much more than that. Much more than that. That's not the only reason. He came to die for us, to give his life. And his life included the horrible, ugly cross and everything with that. So we're submissive toward God. Men, that's what we're called to do. And I want to ask you now just to turn back to Ephesians, the fifth chapter. Ephesians, the fifth chapter, a few books back to the left. Ephesians 5, this should be a chapter that every young man and every man is very familiar with. There was this mutual submission. We'll begin there in verse 21 of Ephesians 5. Be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. There's this mutual submission. And then he goes on to talk about wives. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife. As Christ also is the head of the church, for he himself being the Savior of the body. Men, your role is a spiritual leadership, a Christ-like servant in the family. You are a spiritual leader in your home. And now, I want to say too, as we walk through this, I think it's going to humble you. if you really look at what God is calling you to do. The same way that we thought through this last week and God's role for the wife, I think when we put this together, and I want to say to you, when I first got my head around this as a younger Christian husband, I'm just like, are you kidding me? This is bigger than me. This is more than I can attend to. This is more than I can live out. And I believe that's where God wants to take us today. So that we might say, I'm just bowing before you, asking your help and your grace. This is too big for me. But because you've called me to it, the grace of God is sufficient to take me and do with as you would please in my life. But you and I have a responsibility, men. A great responsibility. Many men will check out at this point, saying, well, you know, my wife, she's responsible to God. She will one day have to answer to Him. That's true. But God is calling you to a role within the family of spiritual leadership. Let's begin to look at what that looks like. It says here, verse 24, as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be their husbands and everything. But you'll notice in verse 23, we are taking this role that Christ has called us to. And then husbands, love your wives. How? Just as Christ also loved the church, gave himself up for her. Well, men, I have a responsibility as a husband. I am the spiritual leader. I'm to set the tone within the family of following the Lord, looking to Him, encouraging others in my family toward the Lord, speaking of Him. But it says here, what are we to do? We're to love our wives just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her, that He might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the Word. This is a selfless love that God is calling us to. So we are in the same way to humble ourselves, be submissive to Christ. Men sometimes want to take a leave of absence here or just give up in some way. But Ephesians 5 reiterates what I believe the Apostle Peter is saying. We are to love like Jesus. That's what we're called to do. That is a selfless. I will tell you this, no matter what I do today, good or bad, I cannot diminish the love of Christ toward me. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is, it is an agape love. It isn't dependent upon how I act, how I respond, what my life is this moment. It isn't dependent on that. Now, pleasing the Lord is a different subject, okay? But how did Christ love the church? He loved Himself to the point that He gave His very life for her. And we are to love our wives in a way that doesn't say, well, you know, when you get where I want you to be, I'll start responding to you. No. It's a love that's consistent no matter what. He loved us even when we were sinners. He still loves us no matter what. Some husbands will love if they get what they want. Or if the person lives up to their demands. That's not how Jesus loves. His love is not dependent upon our actions. Notice, He gave Himself up. It's a sacrificial love. It's also a purifying love. Do you see that? Look at verse 26. So that He might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the Word, that He might present to Himself the church, the body of Christ in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she would be holy and blameless. It's a purifying love. This is a love that helps her to be more like Christ. It's a love that encourages her in her spiritual life. It's a love that will look at her and wonder how is she doing before the Lord and be encouraging her in faith and so forth. That's the kind of love this is. It's a purifying love. Young men, when you date a young lady, your love needs to be the kind of love that draws her closer to Christ. You are watching out for her. You're thinking of purity. You're thinking of conducting yourself in such a way that you are making her more like Jesus. Young ladies, if you're dating a young man, he should be drawing you closer to Christ. Husbands, we should be doing the same as we live with our wives, drawing her closer to the Lord. It flows from here. Husbands also, verse 28, husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. And we take care of ourselves. This morning I got up and I got cleaned up. I ate something before I went out the door. I took care of my body. Just like that, we need to take care and look out for and love our wives. No one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church. Verse 29. And so our love needs to be one that nourishes, that feeds her spiritual life and her emotional life. It needs to come along in that way and cherishes it as well. And we took those vows to love and to cherish. And cherish here has the idea of that we look at our wives as someone incredibly, incredibly special. There's only one of her. She's unique. She's beautiful. She has been created by God. She has a certain personality that it really, when we were first dating, really drew us to her. Now later, sometimes those things can be points of irritation, right? But they ought not to be, see? They really ought not to be. Now, she's not the same woman you married, right? You're not the same man she married either. Watch the flow here. But nourish and cherish her. What is there, 7 billion people in the world today? I don't know. Half of those are women. I have one of those. Specially designed by God to be in marriage with me, to help balance me, to help me along in life, and me to help her along in life. And so it says, husbands, you ought to love your own wives like your own flesh. Verse 30, because we are members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I'm speaking with reference to the Christ and the church. And that example of Christ and the church speaks to us about our conduct within the bounds of marriage. Nevertheless, each individual among you to love his own wife even as himself. There it is again. Love your wives. Love your wives. Love your wives. As himself. And the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. Been around marriage and I've heard a lot about marriage and have been in situations that were difficult with marriages. There are two things that really stand out to me that I think that we need to take note of. Women want to be loved by their husbands, and they want to feel loved. And with that, guys, I think we can say, you know, I would give my life for my wife. I think she knows that. That is a deep love, but that's not a love maybe she especially feels. If I went and bought my wife a dozen roses and dropped them off at the house and had them there for her, she would say to me, now she's, you know, each wife is different. I understand it. Each personality is different. That really would not be loving my wife because she would see that as, what'd you spend all that money on those roses for? Now, some of you guys can go get your wife a dozen roses and you're good to go. All I'm saying is this. We may think, you know, I'm really loving my wife. But if she's not feeling loved, you're not loving your wife. By the way, I don't have this all together yet. I'm still working through it, working on it. But what I find is women must feel loved. They must feel cherished. Our wives must. Men, if I set couples down that are struggling and I ask, okay, the wife, tell me what you're struggling with, she would say, I don't feel loved. And if I ask the husband, I don't feel respected. Notice how this finishes. God's word knows us to the core. Look at verse 32. Nevertheless, each individual among you is to love his own wife, even as himself. And a wife must see to it that she what? Respects her husband. There's an individual that wrote a tremendous book on marriage called Love and Respect. It comes from these verses. So guys, I think we need to ask ourselves, is the way that I'm loving my wife, is that helpful to her? Does she feel loved? Turn over to Colossians, two books to the right. Chapter 3 and verse 19. One more verse, then we're going back to 1 Peter. Verse 19. Husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. Colossians 3:19. Husbands, love your wives, do not be embittered against them. So if you happen to be bitter against your wife, God has a word for you here. Now, I'm going to come back to this a little bit later. But we need to be operating and thinking in such a way that bitterness is not a part of what we're feeling toward our wives. Turn back to 1 Peter 3. Now, as I put these principles before you, as I put this truth before you, we are going to recognize something here, that we are sinners within the bonds of marriage. And so the challenge now is, how do we do this? And we need to recognize, all of us, that's exactly where we're at. That we have this flesh, my way, I want what I want, this pride that says so. That needs to be set aside. It needs to put in its place. Men, it's about serving like Christ served, a servant leader, being gracious and loving and kind and forgiving. You'll notice as well here, back in 1 Peter 3:7, it says, husbands, you husbands, in the same way, that was that submission. Live with your wives in an understanding way. And this next thought I want to give to you is just this real basic thing. And it's before us, and it might seem, well, that's so elementary. Live with her. Live with her. Live with, dwell with, means to be closely aligned. It doesn't mean just to live in the same home, have the same address, the same residence. It means that we recognize that we are one flesh with her. Remember from Ephesians 5 there. That's a quote from Genesis. For this cause, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave like glue, joined at the hip, and the two shall become one flesh. We are to live with them. It means to recognize that we are a couple, we are partners, we are one. One flesh is just that. It's not two, it's the two become one. And Paul is quoting from Genesis 2:24 there. Being married doesn't just consist of living at the same place. It isn't that I do my thing, that she does her thing. No, we are one flesh. And this really comes into play with our spiritual lives, and it really comes into play with humbling ourselves before God. And it really comes into play in thinking about the needs of others. I gave you this verse last week. Matter of fact, I've had these two verses up here a lot. But they just speak to where we need to be in our thinking. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit. Most marriages, if we could do those first few things, they would grow a lot. But with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do you think of your wife being more important than you are? We need to. We need to be thinking about them, praying for them, thinking about what's going on in their hearts and so forth. Don't merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. This is to the body of Christ as a whole, these two verses. But boy, they're so important within marriage. And I need to mention something else here. You know what? Marriages, they're under the gun. They're under fire. They are the point of attack for the devil. They are. I remember coming to Bark River, and it's not like I didn't know it before, but boy, were my eyes opened as to what the devil was aiming at within our fellowship. And it's a spiritual battle we're in, folks. It really is. This is for the glory of the Lord. This isn't about you and your marriage. It's about His name. And so, you know, as we will humble ourselves before Him, oh, we'll be blessed, and His name will be uplifted. but live with her. In Philippians, you know, it's just there. Don't look out for your own interest. It's not about my day today. It's not. It's about someone else. Ultimately about him. But you'll notice it goes further here. It says, live with your wives, and then it says, in an understanding way. Understand her. That's easy enough, right, guys? Not one amen. Not one. Here, guys, we've got to work at it, okay? If we're going to take, let me say this, it's going to take effort if we're going to grow in our understanding of our wives. It just is. It's easy, real easy, as the years go by, to get lazy in this relationship. But if we do that, it'll be detrimental to our marriage. And I believe we're going to miss a great blessing as well. The world says we can't understand our wives. That's what the world says. God says you must understand her. So, for many of us, that may mean that we really need to begin to listen. Not just hear, but listen. To ask questions, to probe her mind, to probe her heart. We need to know how she feels, what she fears, and what her concerns are. I have to tell you, I'm not real into how are you feeling. I'm not really into that. As a man, give me the facts and I'm going. But you know what? She is so different than I am. Women are so, so different. And God made them to be different. I ought to appreciate that. Some will say, well, she isn't the same woman I married years ago. I would say, praise God for that. Let it be noted as well that you and I are not the same that we were when we first married either. Oh, I was thinking we change our minds, our minds change, our bodies change, our perspectives change. Mine aren't the same that we were when we were married years ago. Again, praise the Lord for this. I'm glad that God doesn't just save us. We're good. We learn nothing else the rest of our lives. I'm glad for that. I thank God I can learn. I believe every one of us can. There should be growth, though. There should be growth in our perspectives and our convictions and our wisdom as we age. And she's a woman. Notice here, as someone weaker, since she is a woman. That needs to be thought through. She's not a man. She's not a man. She doesn't think exactly like we do. She doesn't respond necessarily like we do. Praise God that she's different in so many ways than we are. God provided Adam with Eve, a woman. He didn't give him a dad. He didn't give him a mom or a grandparent, although being a grandparent's a close second. But, you know, this is what Adam needed. He needed a wife, a woman. She's precious. She's unique. She's handcrafted to the glory of God. Now, it mentions here someone weaker. I believe the Apostle Peter, what he's doing here is saying, guys, and this is written first century. Almost all labor in that day was physical labor. It was manual. Peter isn't demeaning women or putting them down here. Rather, I believe he's helping the guys he's speaking to, reminding them that wives, they don't have the physical capabilities for the most part that men do in this area. The NFL is going on here, and there may have been a game earlier, but in a few minutes they'll be playing. You know, there's not one woman that is a linebacker in the NFL. It's not that she can't think that way. It's not that she can't understand the concepts. There's a huge difference physically. That's what he's saying. And Peter knew this well, and I believe he helped. That helped him as well in his travels. I want to remind you today that the Apostle Peter was a married man. That he was. He's writing this, and I think he's writing out of some experience. Matthew 18, 14 and 15, when Jesus came into Peter's home, he saw his mother-in-law, Peter's mother-in-law, lying sick in bed. He healed her. Okay? Peter was a married man. Paul mentions this in 1 Corinthians 9, 5. Do we not have a right to take along a believing wife, even as the rest of the apostles and the brothers of the Lord and Cephas? I believe Peter had an understanding in this way when it came to work in fields, when it came to trying to do all the things, if a man's thinking his wife is going to keep up with him physically, that's not a reasonable expectation. But she is a woman. And it says, show her honor as a fellow heir of grace. Wow. So she is a woman. Peter didn't suggest his wife is the weaker vessel, mentally, morally, spiritually, but rather physically. Warren Wiersbe said that. Guard your heart, though, guys. Guard your heart. We can become embittered. And this can happen in marriage. We often think of bitterness as an emotion. We read this earlier. Husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. I'm thankful that the note wasn't just, yeah, guys, some of you are embittered. It says, don't be embittered. Do not be embittered against them. It is certainly an emotion. But I believe God is calling us to operate in such a way as we love our wives, to think and to act in a way that if we're stuck in bitterness, that we move from that point that may be in our lives. So you need to guard your heart. So do I. We just need to guard our heart. Bitterness can be there, and it doesn't need to be. God says, don't be embittered toward them. What's the way out? It's to take actions that will change the way we think about them. It isn't to change her. It isn't to change her. Did you guys, you got that, right? It's not that when she gets, you know, if she would only, I wouldn't be, right? That's not what God is calling us to. Not Christ-like servant leadership within the home. No, not at all. It isn't to change her to be what we want her to be. It's accepting her and loving her with all our ability. Love them. Love them. When you already know what they're going to say, listen. You can love in that way. Be forgiving. Be gracious. If you're not forgiving, I'll tell you, the wheels will fall off your marriage. The cart will come to a stop right now. Right now. But honor her. That's where we finish up here. Honor her as a fellow heir of the grace of life so that your prayers will not be hindered. Honor here, it has the idea to value, to respect. Honor has the idea of something or someone very, very precious. See, we are to esteem them to the highest degree. Other than Christ, there should be no one more precious or highly esteemed in our minds as she is. In our minds, on a scale of 1 to 10, we need to think of her as a what? A 12. Okay? Scale of 1 to 10, she's a 12. That's where God wants us. Our words should be full of grace, full of understanding and concern. One pastor said it this way, the husband should treat his wife like an expensive, beautiful, fragile vase in which is a precious, precious treasure. Men, look back on this week. Your words, your actions, do they measure up to this? But note here, it says fellow heir. Husbands and wives are equal before God in the blessings that Christ places on them. We're fellow heirs of the grace of life. Heirs and joint heirs with Christ. That's what she is with me. Same grace that amazingly brought me to Christ. That's the same grace she has experienced. She's kept by the power of God, just as we are. She's just as capable as any man, in some ways, much more. Now, there are defined roles, for sure. But she is an equal before God with you. I want to note this just from this text. By the way, this text in Galatians 3, 27 and 28, the discussion is salvation. The discussion is not roles within the family or roles within the church. This verse is pulled out of context by many these days. But this is in the context of salvation. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. That is, each one of you who have come to faith, the righteousness of Christ is on you. That's how God sees you. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free man. There's neither male or female, for you are all one in Christ. We all are. This is a fellow heir. This is someone who God sent His Son for. So we must see them as equal, as a fellow heir. That's where this submission to one another really comes into play. And as partners. It says so that your prayers will not be hindered. She's our partner in life. The same grace that saved her is ours. Our prayer life is straight out impacted by how we treat our wives. We may wonder why my walk with God isn't as close as it should be or as dynamic as it should be. The question should be asked, how have I been treating my wife? How am I thinking toward her? Am I striving to understand her? Let me finish up. Men, how important is your marriage to you? Where does it fit in the greatest priorities of your life? When you wake up tomorrow morning, what's your greatest priority aside from Christ? I need to ask too, have you become bitter? Have you become bitter toward your wife? Boy, that root of bitterness, it's devastating, but it can be done away with. I think too, we want to ask ourselves, am I enjoying the uniqueness of my spouse and how God has made her? That's worth asking. Maybe today is a reset. Maybe today we have to say, you know, Lord, wow, I'm not here. I want to be here. And when I say I'm not here, that means that I've failed. I've got some sin. Here it is. I've not loved her. I've not cherished her. I've not honored her. I've not honored you. Maybe that's where we have to go today. If God would grant you that, I'd say run on it. Get right with Him. Start moving forward. Here's a finishing thought. Not much different than last week, right? Other than we've inserted man. Your greatest impact as a man will be when you embrace the divine role God has ordained for you. We've just laid it out. May God help us to do just that. Father, as we've come to the end of this, not only is it an amazing teaching, I believe it will set us free and give us tremendous joy and happiness in our marriages. It's also very convicting. And Father, where you've cut us, where you've caught us, where you've challenged our hearts, I pray that you would find us acknowledging our great need for you. And I think if we were honest before you, we would say, this is way, way too big. I can't do this on my own. And that would be true. Father, it's more than we can handle. But yet you've called us to it. And I believe as we acknowledge our need in this area, you will help us in it. Father, these marriages that are before you, there's not a one of them that are perfect. I pray you grant that we would draw closer to you and to one another in them. That which they would reflect the relationship that Christ has to the church. And Father, for our young men and young women that are here today have yet to step into marriage, I pray that these principles and these truths would just be straight out what they're striving for. Bless them. Guide them to the one of your choice. And then I pray that they would operate within that realm in dating and then future in marriage in a way that's pleasing to you. Help us, Father. Bless these marriages. We set them before you. I place the men, I place the women before you. I ask that you would do in them as you would please. I pray that we can take our eyes off on ourselves and really begin to esteem others higher than we are. Bless your people now in Christ's name. Amen.